Well, I wanted to open up again this evening in 2 Corinthians 5:17 from the New Living Translation. And let us open with this and follow along. But one of the things that we look at is that God made in the beginning, he created this earth, and then what did he do? He completed it all after he had made this earth, made and filled it, and as you say, dressed it out. He completed that by doing what? Creating man, and then in Genesis 1, 26 and 27, he said, let us make man in our image and likeness. So when you look at that, Adam, they called him, he named him Adam. Adam, actually, when you go back and you look at the original Hebrew of that, and you look at Dam, D-A-M, it really means blood. Now, yes, in the natural, they said he had a ruddy color, but Dam, he really was Adonai, Adam, it was really the blood of God. When you go back and you look at the root of that word, he was the first man, Adam, was doing what? He was what? Made in the image of likeness of God and given authority, what? Over this earth. All the works of God's hands he was given authority over. So God made man to have dominion and authority. Well, we know Adam messed up. He sinned. And that authority was lost. And we know from the scripture, from 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verses 3 and 4, it says that if this gospel be hid, it hid for them that are lost. But it says that this gospel is hidden by the God of this world. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I know I'm jumping here a little bit, but 2 Corinthians chapter 2, I'm sorry, chapter 4. Verses 3 and 4, it says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Verse 4, in whom the God of this world has done what? Blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So Adam, made in the image and likeness of God, was made to have dominion over this earth, over the works of God's hands. And he lost that dominion. And we see here from Scripture that it was lost, and Satan took that authority and that dominion. So it says that the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that are lost. So Satan is what? The God of this world. But what happened through Christ? This is where we're kind of jumping over here into 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says from the scripture, the second Adam restored, he was the mediator of mankind, all mankind. So Jesus was the second Adam. And we know from scripture that the blood of God was in his veins, in and coursed through him. So when we see from the first man, Adam, who was sinless, but then sinned and lost his dominion and authority, but Jesus restored that dominion and authority to who? To mankind, to those that would receive him as Lord and Savior. So we can see here from 2 Corinthians 5:17 in the New Living Translation, it says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become, not gonna become, has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. And all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself. How? Through Christ. And God has given us this task of what? Reconciling people to him. For God was where? In Christ, doing what? Reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. You know, let me just stop here. What does it say here in verse 19? For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to him, no longer counting people's sins against them. Boy, now God is doing what? No longer, this is love, and I'm just stopping to make a point here. Love doesn't count the sins against people or the sins that were committed against someone, right? And here, in this case, we committed sins against God. We were out of covenant with him. So here, this just shows us when we receive him, we've become a new creature in Christ. Love, his very nature, comes into us. That means that we should not hold the sins of others against us. We should do what? Forgive them. And that's what the scripture says. So just stop to make that point. And he said, and he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is what? He's come in us now. He's making his appeal. How? Through us. Working through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ who never sinned. Hallelujah. And then what else? To be what? An offering for our sin so that we could be made right with God through Christ. How are we made right with God? Through Christ. We're not made right. You know, the world has some idea that we might get to be made right with God by doing a lot of good works. You know, when people try to be philanthropic, they try to do good works. And it's only through the blood of Jesus that we're made right. And so that's the key. It's, what does it say in Revelations? It's by the blood and through the word of our testimony do we overcome. So it's the blood. It's the blood of Jesus that has cleansed us of unrighteousness and that we're made right with God. And let's continue. 1 John chapter 5. And verse 11, 12, and 13, I want to read this in the Passion Translation. So the reason I'm stopping or starting with 2 Corinthians 5:17 is because we've become a brand new person in Christ, someone that never existed before. We didn't have a makeover. We were made brand new, someone that never existed. What happened? This spirit became brand new. It was remade in Christ. In other words, I have his very nature in me. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 11 in the Passion Translation, it says, this is the true testimony. That God has given us what? Eternal life. And this life has its source in his Son. Excuse me. Whoever has the Son has, not going to have, whoever has the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not have the Son does not possess eternal life. I've written this letter to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you will be assured and know without a doubt that you have eternal life. So we have eternal life. We have resurrection life inside of us. That same life that quickened God through Christ, through God in the dead body of Christ. It said the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. That's Romans chapter 8, verse 11 and 12. It said that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us, and that same Spirit does what? Quickens our mortal bodies. How? By His Spirit that dwells in us. So this resurrection life, this eternal life, is in our spirit. We've been made brand new. And that same Spirit strengthens us. It quickens us. Hallelujah. So God has placed in us life, and it's through this union with His Son that He desires to do what? Manifest this resurrection life, this eternal life, through us. It's through our relationship and our fellowship with Christ, this union that we have with Christ, that He desires to do what? To have an opportunity, or He wants to live His life through us. He wants to represent, not represent, but He wants to be seen through us. He wants His life to be seen through us. Now let's look at John chapter 5 and verse 24. I'm just going through some scriptures that we discussed on Sunday or highlighted, and I want to take a look at this, John chapter 5 and verse 24 and 25. It says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life." So if you hear His word and believe on Him that sent Him, He's saying here, if you believe Him to be the Christ, it says here that you have everlasting life, and you shall not come into condemnation, but you are what? Passed from death unto life. Verse 25, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live, for as the Father hath life in Himself, so has He given to the Son to have life in Himself." And when we receive Him, that life from the Father that's in the Son comes into us by His Spirit. So we were sharing that the devil cannot defeat someone who has eternal life. Eternal life cannot be overcome by death. Life cannot overcome by death. Cannot overcome death. So this life that we have, this dunamis life, this power that we have in us, this miraculous power, is greater than death. It's greater. It says, "Whosoever does what has this." Whoever has made Jesus the Lord of their life overcomes the world. Now, let's look at Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1 in the King James and then the Passion Translation. Talking about this eternal life, this resurrection life. It says, "If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which," what, "are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead, and your," what, "your life is hid with Christ in God." So where is Christ? It says here, Christ is what? Seated at the right hand of God. And if my life is hidden, what? My life is hid with Christ in God, then I'm seated in Christ. Where? What is that? Not physically. I'm not physically seated there. But my authority, I am part of the what? The body of Christ. So I am seated with him. What? In authority I am. And it says here, verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. We have this wonderful hope of the gospel. And let's read this in the Passion Translation. It says, Christ's resurrection is your resurrection too. This is why we are to yearn for all that is above. For that's where Christ sits enthroned at the place of all power, honor, and authority. So if I'm seated with him, then we have authority restored. Hallelujah. And so it says, verse 2, yes, feast on all the treasures of the heavenly realm and fill your thoughts with heavenly realities, not the distractions of the natural realm. It didn't say that there aren't any distractions in the natural realm. What did it just say? It said, feast on all the treasures of this heavenly realm and fill your thoughts with heavenly realities. You know, when somebody says, do this, fill your thoughts, that's a choice that we have to make, that when we're bombarded with what? Distractions, life's distractions, natural distractions, we have to then make a choice to look at our covenant in the Word of God and fill our thoughts with what? Heavenly treasures, the treasures of this heavenly realm. Hallelujah. And then, what does it go on? Verse 3, your crucifixion with Christ has severed the tie to this life. And now your true life is hidden away in God in Christ. And as Christ himself is seen for who he really is, who you really are will also be revealed, and you are now one with him in his glory. So God made man primarily so that he would have fellowship with man. And it's through this fellowship that God desires to be seen, he wants to exhibit and show how much he loves people, how much he loves not only us, but he wants to be reflected. He wants to show his love through us to people. And this is what we see in John 17, verses 17, starting in John 17 in the Passion Translation, verse 17 through 23, it says, your word is truth, so make them holy by the truth. I have commissioned them. See, this is what he's commissioned us to do. He's commissioned them, or you could say us, to represent him just as you commissioned me to represent you. This is Jesus saying, I've commissioned them to go out and represent me just as you commissioned me. This is Jesus speaking, as the Father commissioned him to represent the Father. And now I dedicate myself to them as a holy sacrifice so that they will live as fully dedicated to God and be made holy by your truth. And I ask not only for these disciples, but also for all those who will one day believe in me through their message. I pray for all them to be joined together as one, even as you and I, Father, are joined together as one. I pray for them to become one with us so that the world will recognize that you sent me. For the very glory you have given to me, I have given to them, so that they will be joined together as one and experience the same unity that we enjoy. What causes this unity? It's the life of God. It's this glory. It's this resurrection life that has come into us and made us brand new creatures in Christ. That, as he said, he prays that this very glory that was given to him, Christ, I've given to them so that they will be joined together as one and experience the same unity that we enjoy. You live fully in me, and now I live fully in them, so that they will experience perfect unity. And look, wait for it here. It says, and the world will be convinced that you have sent me, for they will see. They who? The world will see that you love each one of them with the same passionate love that you have for me. So this is what I was sharing on Sunday, that with all of the ilks and distractions in the natural realm, in society, we talked about touching on Matthew 24, kingdom rising against kingdom. This is what we see in the end times. And tribes or ethnos against ethnos. And it says, because of sin and iniquity, it says the love of many is waxed cold. And we're beginning to see that and have been seeing this, where the exaltation of sin and problems in this society has caused some, the love that's in them, to wax cold. We are to burn brighter and brighter in this time. And how is that going to come about? It's going to come about by us staying connected with Christ, staying in the vine, staying in fellowship with him so that he can live his life through us. Now, what we were sharing on Sunday is that people do bad things to people. People, you know, do bad things one race against another race. We see that in society now. We see people doing wrong things against other people, other races. Didn't say that it was easy on the flesh, but we have Christ, and if we do what? As he was sharing back in Colossians chapter 3, what we were just sharing in Colossians chapter 3 in the Passion Translation, and it said in verse 2, feast on all the treasures of the heavenly realm and fill your thoughts with heavenly realities and not with the distractions of the natural realm. Well, if you keep feeding upon what somebody else is doing to you, or you keep feeding upon what's going on in this natural realm, it could cause people to become discouraged, jaded, and start to feel, as they say in the natural, some kind of way. But we are to do what? We are to be imitators of Christ, imitators of God. And so how are we going to come up, how are we going to do that? By constantly filling our thoughts with his word and filling our thoughts not with these distractions. Now that doesn't mean I just ignore the distractions. It didn't say that. It says don't fill your mind. When we begin to fill our minds with heavenly realities, it will show us a just way to handle these injustices in society and not approach it from a natural way. It may operate through the natural and in this natural realm, but it'll be God being reflected in and through us. And I can guarantee you when it's done, it'll be done with compassion and with love, not hatred in a way that's crude. So let's take a look here. We were looking at this on Sunday. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 16. And in the King James translation, he said that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might. This word strengthened, is another word in the Greek, is to be empowered. So when you're strengthened, you're empowered with might. That word might is dunamis or dunamis. It means miracle working power. It means strength. How? By his spirit, where? In my inner man. So the things that would affect us in this natural realm, we can overcome them by being strengthened in our inner man. How? We can be with might. So you're strengthened with his power, his might, by his spirit in my inner man. And I like this in the Passion Translation. It says, and I pray that he would unveil within you the unlimited riches of his glory and favor until supernatural strength floods your innermost being with his what? Divine might and explosive power. So God desires to do what? To infuse us with his strength, to strengthen us, to empower us with his explosive power, his supernatural ability. I like the Johnson translation, or it's a paraphrase in Ephesians 3:16. It says, may he give you an infusion of strength in the depths of your very being by his spirit. So God is looking to do what? Empower us, to be seen through us. And so every obstacle that we face in life can be overcome through this new life that we have, this eternal life, this resurrection life that's within us. And how are we to operate in that? By faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7. We walk by faith. We conduct our life by faith and not by sight. So Galatians 2:20, in the Passion Translation, it says, my old identity has been co-crucified with Christ and no longer lives. What is that saying here? I have a brand new person. This old nature, this old person that I was, no longer lives. And now the essence of this new life is no longer mine, for the Anointed One lives his life how? Through me, and we what? We live in union as what? As one. My new life is empowered how? By faith of the Son of God. This is what we're talking about, walking by faith, not by sight. And then it goes on. This new life is empowered by the faith of the Son of God, who loves me so much that he gave himself for me. He gave himself on the cross for me, dispensing his life into mine. So he dispensed in me this new life. I have him living inside me. Now I want to take a quick look here at John 15. So good to go back and look at these and remind ourselves, stir our hearts up in the Word of God as to who we are in Christ. John 15, verse 3, 4, and 5 in the King James. It says, now we are clean, or now ye are clean. How? Through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch, we're the branch. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except you abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same, talking about us here now, the same, those that abide in the vine, it says, bring forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. So when we stay connected to the vine, we keep what? Living in the pure light, then we bear fruit. And we overcome. We cannot, what? Without him, we can't overcome. So we can do nothing, and that's the point here. Let's look at this in the Passion Translation. It says, starting in verse 3, the words I have spoken over you have already cleansed you. For as a branch, I'm sorry, cleansed you. Verse 4. So you must remain in life union with me, for I remain in life union with you. For as a branch severed from the vine will not bear fruit, so your life will be fruitless unless you live your life intimately joined to mine. I am the sprouting vine, and you're my branches. As you live in union with me as your source, fruitfulness will stream from where? From within you. But when you live separated from me, you are powerless. So the theme for this message tonight is we overcome in him. We cannot bear fruit. What does that mean by bearing fruit? You can't overcome. I mean, we can look at Mark 11, 22, 23, 24. You overcome by what? Through faith. And you believe and therefore speak. And if you believe and doubt not the things that you say, you'll have what you say. Well, this is what we're saying. You're staying in fellowship, you're staying connected with him. He empowers you with his very life in your spirit man. And then it goes on here, and as it says, but when you live separated from me, you are powerless. So it's through fellowship with him that we do what? He empowers us, and he does what? He releases his influence. His miracle-working power, he releases that influence how? Through us. So, again, going back to what I shared, he has restored authority to mankind or through those who have accepted Jesus. He's restored that authority through Christ. And those that receive him don't walk in blindness now. So, this authority has been restored to mankind so that he's given them the right to accept Jesus, to approach God through Christ. And then that authority, that dominion is restored. How? We operate in the name of Jesus. We've been given the name. And so we exercise our authority through how? Through our relationship and our fellowship with Christ. And you know, we were sharing this on Sunday in Acts chapter 3, you know, when Peter and John went to the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, and a certain man was lame from his mother's womb, and they had to carry him. And it said when Peter and John fastened their eyes on this man, what did Peter say? He said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. What did he have? He knew he had authority in the name of Jesus. He was connected to the vine. He had fellowship with Jesus. And so he was given authority and dominion, and it was restored. And what? He knew that. On the day of Pentecost, they were endued with power. And so we can see here that for us, becoming a new man in Christ, taking our place in Christ, puts us in a position to overcome every single obstacle, every distraction, every mountain, every thing that comes into our life. We can overcome it. And so one thing that we haven't shared on, but one thing that can affect that is not staying connected to the vine. What does that say? Let's go back and look at that again in John 15. When we become disconnected from the vine, what does it say? You're fruitless. Well, when we walk out of love, I believe it's in 1 John. I don't have that in front of me, but it says, everyone that hates his brother is what? A murderer. And those that are a murderer don't have eternal life. And so when you become someone that hates someone who's your brother, then what does it do? It begins to separate you from your and your fellowship with God through Christ. And so those things, walking out of love towards your brother, can affect your faith, can affect what the world sees in and through us. So we want to make sure that we stay walking in love, that we love our brother and sister in Christ. This is why, and let's just close looking at this scripture, when we talk about walking in love towards our brother and sister in Christ, let's just take a quick look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I know I shared this before, and I'm sorry, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and talking about communion, receiving the bread and the cup. But when you go down to verse 27 in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, it says, wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. It says, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. And then it goes on. So the point we're making is that as long as we stay connected to the vine, as long as we stay in him, and we're not severed or separated by, but how do we become severed and separated? Through sin, we become separated in our fellowship with him. We don't lose righteousness, our connection with Christ. But when I say connection, you're not removed from the body of Christ, but you have become severed. This fellowship has become severed, and we become, and this is the old English says, we become unworthy. In the sense of it becomes your fellowship with Christ has become affected through sin. How do we sin? That which is not of faith is sin. When we walk out of love, we walk in sin. So we want to make sure that as this new man that we have, that we continue to operate in love, staying in fellowship. God wants us to stay in fellowship. Jesus desires that we are in fellowship with him, and that his very nature is exhibited in and through us. So the world can see that. and see that reflected in us. So again, just sharing that when you have this resurrection life, you have this overcoming life in you, you cannot be defeated. I can do all things, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things, how? Through Christ who strengtheneth me. I am a winner, I'm an overcomer. And this is what Philippians 4, let's look at that in the Passion Translation. First Philippians 4, verses 12 and 13, it says, I know what it means to lack, and I know what it means to experience overwhelming abundance. For I'm trained in the secret of overcoming all things, whether in fullness or in hunger. And I find that the strength of Christ's explosive power, that's the spirit of might, this explosive power, this dunamis power, infuses me to conquer every difficulty. So the scripture tells us plainly that this power that resides in this new man, what did Jesus say? We can't put new wine in an old wineskin. So he can't put his life in a spirit with a death nature. So what happened? He supernaturally and miraculously changed my spirit, made this spirit to house his very presence, his very light, his very love, and his nature is now residing in me. And what does it say? I'm infused with Christ's explosive power, and it says what? To conquer every difficulty. And so it's our position to receive that, to believe that. What is believing? I've got to believe it and therefore speak it. Even in difficult situations, I've got to do what? Speak it. What is faith? Faith is voice activated. When I speak, it's my faith speaking. So what do you believe? When you talk about your circumstances and you talk about them like they're so big they can't move, that's your faith speaking. Or it didn't say how you felt about it, but we have to believe the word of God and speak and release our faith-filled words. And faith-filled words will change the circumstances and overcome. Whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Just keep sharing these principles, these principles of faith, that we are already overcomers in him. And I cannot be defeated. And I like what Pastor Hagen says, I cannot be defeated and I will not quit. If you don't quit, you will overcome. Glory to God. Praise God. I trust that helps. It helps me to share it, to keep speaking it, to keep talking it, and eventually the revelation of that will dawn on our spirits. It will enlighten us the more we keep meditating on it, talking about it, releasing our faith-filled words. The light of the gospel will shine in our hearts. Glory to God. So, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we are already overcomers in Christ. And I have this, and I'm infused in my spirit man with your supernatural power to overcome every difficult obstacle in this life. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I just had a thought as I'm closing here. I'll just share this. The devil can't defeat you And even though it says he comes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So he can't devour you. You've been delivered out of darkness. You've been delivered from darkness into life. I've been delivered from darkness and translated into the kingdom of his dear son. So the only thing that can cause something to give it power, to give it life, remember, you have authority and dominion restored. God is looking to do what? To change things in this earth through his body. And we are his what? His arms, his legs, his eyes, his feet. To do what? To reach people, to touch people, and to exhibit this God kind of life through him. And so it's us operating in this earth. So if you don't release death-filled words, it cannot overcome you. The obstacle cannot overcome you. So what happens? People are bombarded with thoughts, visual, things that we hear, things that we see, and it may look like it will not change. It may look like that you're overcome. They may even tell you, you are overcome. You can't, this will never change. But the word of God and the life of God overcomes the devil and overcomes the works of the devil and all that he's released in this earth. So if we will just stay steady, that's what I was thinking about. I will not be defeated and I will not quit. So if you continue to feed upon the word of God and release faith-filled words. This is Mark 11:23. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, this obstacle, this difficulty, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and do what? And shall not doubt where? In your heart. But shall believe that those things which you say shall come to pass, you shall have whatsoever you sayeth. So even with all of the things going on, all of the things that look like it will never change, and it can't change, well, the church, the body of Christ, is the enforcing power, or is the power in this earth that will change things, and God is holding us responsible. He's put us in charge here, not to do it by ourselves, but what? Stay connected to the vine. So when we stay connected, I can do all things. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, before we unhook here this evening, I want to give everybody that might be watching an opportunity to receive Christ as their Savior. And also, if you've been thinking a certain way, to repent of that. And what is repenting? Changing your thinking. And saying, you know what, I've been thinking incorrectly here. Let me fix that. Sorry about that, Lord. I see the light of the gospel now. I've been talking the wrong way. Because the scripture says that we are going to be held accountable for every word that we speak. So we want to, if we've been talking a certain way, you know, you just say, you know what, Lord, I see the light of that in the truth of the word of God. I ask you to forgive me for the way I've been speaking. I'm going to change my thinking. I'm going to let the word of God get in and change my thinking, and also my words are going to change. So let's say this prayer. If you've never received Jesus as your Lord, and you never have, and you desire to, let's remind everybody that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and you do what? Believe in your, where is again? In your heart, that God hath raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So let's say this, Father God, I believe that you sent Jesus to this earth in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, and I believe that you sent Jesus to redeem mankind, and I believe that he took our sins and he took all of our sicknesses and he took them to hell, and I believe that when sin was paid for, we were raised from the dead and seated with him in heavenly places in Christ. And I receive you, Jesus, now as my Savior. I ask you to cleanse me with the blood of Jesus. And I thank you that I am now saved. And I thank you that I will live my life for you. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you did that and you don't ever remember making that personal confession of faith where you believed in your heart and said with your mouth those things that we just shared, that you believe that Jesus is the Christ and that God raised him from the dead, then you're saved. And if you don't remember doing that, get in touch with us. We'll send you some free information and contact us either by email or by mail or by phone and let us know that you've become a brand new creature in Christ. You've received Jesus as your Savior. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And again, go back and listen to these. Meditate upon these particular scriptures, and it will change the way you think. Hallelujah. Glory to God.